Dude, No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Jay Prince Jr. in the building. I can't believe it.
Oh, yeah, it's up.
Why did you decide to finally do an interview now, I guess, is the main question, because I'm sure that there's been many different times in your life where people have been hounding you, trying to get you on camera and shit. I didn't realize, actually, how important this interview was until I went to do my research for it, and I searched Jay Prince Jr. interview and came up with pretty much nothing on YouTube.
Yeah, I don't spread my sauce out to too many people.
Mm.
Man, this is a situation where I feel like we both could benefit each other. You know what I'm saying? You've been grinding. You've been doing your thing. So I'm going to give you this first exclusive.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I was thinking about it a lot today. I'm like, you know, the real reason I started doing podcasts was really just to try to meet people. And then, like, once you really start meeting people, you start. And I mean, I was thinking about this a lot, too, because I was just reading a lot about you and your pops and everything. And I was just thinking, like, shit, really, at the end of the day, is all about respect. And if you could use a podcast as a route to meet people and show people, like, that you never would have thought that you would be able to interact with, that you're respecting of their culture and what they've done with their lives, that's like best case scenario for me. So I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate being there.
Yeah. For the people out there, let's talk a little bit about your upbringing, because I feel like at least part of why people are so fascinated by you is because they see the enormity of Rap-A-Lot and everything that your father accomplished and shit, and people probably are just so fascinated by the idea of growing up in that environment. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So talk to me a little bit about that.
I mean, we come from the school of hard knocks. Like, something that I value about my family and my upbringing is the respect.
Mm.
Like, that's something that we demanded. It's something that we live and die by. So I can't compare my upbringing to others because I come from a different type of cloth.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, our structure, our values, our order are different than this new generational stuff that's going on. We come up under the old law. So, I mean, it's just that.
Right. Man. But so, as a kid, take me through, like, when did you sort of realize what you had been born into in terms of just being part of something so respected and something that was, like, so out in front of people's minds and that people, like, held at such, with such a revered look? Like, when did you really start to realize the enormity of that?
I mean, it's like when you are accustomed to certain things, you don't pay attention to things or look at things from the perspective that everybody else look at them from. Mm. So I knew my family was respected. I knew the values, but it took me to become an adult, a man, to be able to understand it fully.
Mm.
You did, so, man, that's just that, man.
Yeah. I mean, you were surrounded by a lot of legendary hip-hop from day one. And did it take you a period of time to sort of realize that?
I mean, like I said, when I got older, like, I remember being in the studio with Dr. Dre,
right,
and Pac and everybody, but I didn't value that at that time.
Mm.
Because my mind state wasn't there.
Just regular shit, you don't know.
Yeah, it was just something I was accustomed to already.
It'd be like me seeing Dr. Dre on TV, but you were just in the studio on some regular shit.
Yeah, I was accustomed to it already, so this is what I thought was ordinary.
Mm.
But as I got older, I realized, okay, hold on, this is a different type of movement. I got to understanding things and looking at things from a different perspective than I was accustomed to, and making sure that I value what need to be valued so that we can keep our legacy going in the manner that it need to be.
Right. But I mean, do you feel like you've always been a little bit, you've always had a different sense of, like, wanting to prove yourself, because most people are really not coming from anything. You're coming from a lot, and you probably have known that for a long time. Do you think that that instilled a spirit in you that was like, I gotta really prove myself because I got a lot to live up to?
Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. And it's not necessarily proving yourself, because it's no competition when it comes to family.
Mm.
So it's not necessarily proving yourself. It's just making yourself an asset and bringing something to the table.
Mm.
To where we all can eat off of. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to use the proving yourself word, because what's understood ain't got to be explained. We know who we are. We know we men.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't a situation where I wanted to prove myself, but I wanted to prove my value.
Mm.
I wanted to bring something to the table to help the family be bigger and better than what it is.
Yeah, definitely. What kind of... Well, actually, also introduce us to your friend real quick first.
I'm going
to
let him introduce himself.
Say, Jay the Great, straight out of Houston.
Yeah.
Southwest side. We different sides of town, but, you know, respect, man, go a long way.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? So that's what really, you know, brought us together with this journey. You know what I'm saying? I'm just grateful to be here. on some real nigga shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, super grateful.
In what capacity do you guys work together?
He's an artist. Right. One of the hottest artists coming out the city. Man, y'all, everybody gonna hear about him real soon. Yeah, we doing business together.
Definitely.
Yeah, you know, we had to make a legendary approach his first interview, so I had to pull up to, you feel me? Yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah, they'll pay attention a little more now.
Yeah. I mean, you guys both got something in common. You got an enormous amount of jewelry around both of your necks, so.
Damn right.
It's light drip today.
It's light today?
It's light.
Nah, for real.
Hey, man, it ain't nothing lighter than an old tie-dye t-shirt.
Hey, go with your wiggle.
You got to do what you know.
Yeah, go with your wiggle.
Oh, man, that's funny. So, but in terms of, how would you describe what you're doing for him, though? You describe yourself as a manager?
Nah, I ain't been in the manager business. We used to own this shit.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, you know, we working together. Let them know what you got going on there.
Yeah, man. So basically, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, respect go a long way. You know what I mean? We just doing shit different. You know what I'm saying? You want different results, you got to do shit different. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I use the word grateful, you know what I'm saying? Because he actually had somewhere to be, you know what I'm saying, today. You know what I mean? So for him to be here, this was his choice, you know what I'm saying? So he had somewhere to be, like, for real, for real.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? So that's what I mean by respect. You know, we kind of been rocking out for a minute. We ain't really exchanged words over the years, but it was kind of, I see what's going on. It was, like I said, a mutual respect, you know what I'm saying, from him and from me, you know what I'm saying? And we're here today. You know what I'm saying? Shit's just beautiful.
Definitely.
It's beautiful, so.
Yeah, when you say you have somewhere to be, spoiler, that I don't think you're making your 5:30 flight.
It's over with.
It ain't happening. Well, what are you out here for otherwise? Because you got in last night. I'm looking at your Instagram story. It looks like you got in about 8 o'clock last night.
Time we got here last
night. That was a plan. That was a short trip.
Yeah. I just came out here for you.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, that's it.
Did you bring the chef with you, or did you find the chef out here?
That's one of my chefs that live in L.A.
Okay.
Yeah, Black Youngster turned me on to her, and we've been rocking ever since. Like, she won the hottest chef. Shout out Chef Danny Hollywood. You get what I'm saying?
For real.
Yeah, if y'all want some good food, holler at
him. Steak, shrimp.
Yeah, Danny, you owe me about 3 free meals for this shout out, too. Just know that.
I never seen anybody in your position show so much love to a chef in my life.
Hey,
I was impressed.
It's just genuine people. They ain't even about the cooking. They're about the person behind the cooking.
Mm, that's the move. Talk to me about this. When you first, like, what would you consider your first entrepreneurial venture in the sense of, like, really deciding, like, okay, this is something I'm going to really start dumping my attention into?
I mean, I say that they started as a child because I come up under. Mm. I come up under entrepreneurship, and I got the best teacher in the game.
Mm.
So it's not a point that I just realized. I just knew I always had to hustle and drive in. So, yeah.
Because, like, when we look at your family lineage, like, when we look at your dad, like, he's just had his hand in so many different things and, like, been able to be successful with so many different things that it's kind of shocking. It's like, it almost seems like, from your perspective, it's got to be kind of like a big decision just to decide what you even want to decide, what is worth your time. Because there are, like, you were kind of raised that way, that there's, like, a lot of different ways to make a living.
Yeah, without a doubt. We're going to keep our portfolio as diversified as possible.
Mm.
So it's a bunch of avenues for revenue.
Yeah, that's facts.
It was never a point that I just snapped into it and was like, I want to be a businessman.
Mm.
Or I want to be one of the top entrepreneurs. Now, that was something that he distilled in us as kids.
Mm.
So we were just in this. He just grew and got bigger and bigger as we got older.
Definitely. Yeah, what kind of game did your father put you on? It must be kind of wild growing up, getting game from somebody that has seen and done much.
It was the real guy.
Yeah.
The real is it. It's one thing about my father is it doesn't matter if your family or you're someone else that we don't know. Right is right and wrong is wrong, and he distilled that in us. It doesn't matter. So he correct me the same way he'll correct somebody that he might be a situation with.
Right.
So it's all the same thing. Like, his values are his values regardless of who you are, and he distilled that in us.
Definitely. I know I kind of asked you this about just growing up around all this shit in general, but was there a moment when you sort of realized the way that people revered your father and how much respect that he had? Because that alone it kind of stands alone in rap. Like, there's certain people that you might look at, like a Dr. Dre or a Drake or some shit, who just have like unbelievable, enormous amounts of respect. But to see someone who's like a non-artist to be treated in the way that your father does, this is a very unique thing.
Yeah, without a doubt. And it's a different type of respect also.
This is true.
Yeah, it's a different type of respect. But, I mean, I'll say my middle school days, I started to realize, okay, yeah, this is a serious guy. Yeah. I knew it already because it's my father. But just to see the respect that the world gave him made me realize, okay, yeah, it's something bigger than what I was in tune to from my dad.
Yeah.
Dude, like, it's a way bigger picture. And as I got older, I got to understand that picture better.
For sure. Did you want to be an artist at some point? Probably people have been asking you for years if you wanted to, huh?
I'm going to keep it real with you. When I was in middle school, I thought about this shit.
Uh-huh.
But then I realized that God didn't bless me with those gifts.
You don't think?
Yeah, he blessed me with the entrepreneur gifts.
Right.
Yeah, so.
But there's a lot of legendary rappers who, if you were to really look at their music, you'd be like, man, I don't know if this dude really a rapper, but he's popping.
I just know how to stay in my lane. And that wasn't my lane. I thought about it. People trying to convince me to do it till this day. It just ain't my lane. I like to, yeah.
I feel the same way. How did Houston shape you? How did Houston make you the man that you are today?
I mean, it's a tough one. Houston molded me. Like, that's my land. That's what I represent everywhere I go. I can't necessarily say how it shaped me because I feel like my family shaped me, because it's a bunch of people from Houston that ain't got the same views or values that I have. So I ain't gonna say necessarily the city shaped me. It's just what you come up under, your environment in the city. And I just so happened to come up under, the really shit.
Definitely. Just a side note, more recent thing. What's up with this video I seen you doing with Lil Baby the other day on the story?
Yeah, Lil Baby in the trenches, man.
Yeah,
Lil
I know.
Baby came to my hood, Field War. Shout out Lil Jeremy Gas Gang. It was his video shoot, Chances Make Champions. Yeah, we took Lil Baby to the hood. He was in the middle of the trenches. And it was up. But Lil Baby, a good nigga. I fuck with him.
What's your perspective on the hood at this point, though? Because you don't got to go there. But you got love for it enough to the point where you still feel the need to stop buying everything?
Man, yeah, without a doubt. You never can forget where you come from. And that's something that my old man instilled in me also. They never forget where you come from. Like, every year for my birthday, I have a block party in Fifth Ward, in the middle of Fifth Ward. I don't know if you've seen the footage or not, but it'd be thousands of people in the middle of my hood. And Drake them been, Meek them been, Ross them been, Chris Brown, Tiger, like the name, Black Youngster, Moneybag, like the name, Lil Kim, it go on and on.
Right.
Everybody come out every year. But I feel like it's important to share experiences and to give back to those who might not be able to receive it on their own. So what I do every year, Enfield War, on Liberty Road, you feel what I'm saying? What I do every year is I bring artists to the hood, for everybody in the hood to be able to see the people that they ain't accustomed to seeing. You ain't got to pay nothing. All you got to do is show up. Free food, free liquor, free tours, everything. Everything on me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I just feel like I need to share my blessings with them also.
Definitely.
So you never can forget where you come from.
No, that's respectable for sure. Yeah.
There's a difference between changing your environment. Like, I understand when people say, okay, we don't need to be accustomed to doing what we're accustomed to doing or be in the spots that we used to be because we're growing and we're elevating. But at the same time, never lose sight of where you came from.
Right. Yeah, that's important. When you look at, it's kind of been discussed a lot at this point, but when you look at like that Nipsey situation, it's kind of sparked this whole big conversation about once you become famous, rich, et cetera, what do you do with yourself? Like, is it safe to even continue to be around people that maybe don't have anything, that maybe are going to be irrational and erratic and act on their impulses when they are looking at what you've managed to accomplish with yourself? Is that something you think about?
I mean, it's something I think about, but at the same time, it's like, no situation is going to stop me from doing what I want to do. If I want to be here, I'm going to be there. I'm just going to make sure that I cross my T's and dot my I's. So it's not no situation nobody could put me in or be somebody tell me, hey, Junior, don't go here, don't do this. Nah, it's just about tightening up. You just got to make sure that you're ready for whatever may present itself. You feel what I'm saying? And that's something that we do. We always ready for whatever may present itself. So we not scared to go nowhere. We're not going to let nobody tell us that we can't do nothing. We just going to make sure that we have our T's crossed and our I's dotted. That's it.
Was that a conversation that you and your pops were having as a kid where he was like telling you from day one, like, yo, you got to be really careful with how you move around. Like, this is not, you're not just a regular guy. You got to be out here in a specific way.
Coming up as a child, I done dealt with so much, man. And there's some things that I can't talk about.
Oh, I bet there's a lot you can't talk about.
I done dealt with so much that it's instilled in me, like, because I've been dealing with this since a kid. Like, he always let us know, hey, man, these people don't like me, so they might not like y'all. So his situations we had to deal with, too.
Right.
Because, you know, sometimes people are target the less vulnerable.
Yeah.
And I was a kid, so I was vulnerable then.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's something that he instilled in us for a long time. Make sure y'all stay sharp. Make sure y'all stay tight. Because it might be something that don't even, that you're not aware of. It might present itself based upon my behalf.
Were you raised to treat the Rap-A-Lot name with the same respect that you treat yourself? Like, you would almost rather die before you allow somebody to really, truly disrespect the brand?
Oh, yeah. We're going to live and die about this. Period. Live and die about it. That is us. My name, the Prince name, Rap-A-Lot, all that shit coincide together. So it is us. If somebody disrespecting that, they disrespecting us. It's just like saying fuck a prince or fuck Rap. Nah, it's same shit. Ain't no difference.
Yeah, I was reading about how the average business doesn't make it past, you know, the first or second generation, because once it's sort of left to the next person, the heir to inherit it, a lot of times shit goes crazy and it doesn't make it to the second or the third generation. Is that something that has been in your head from an early age?
Yeah, like, without a doubt.
I need to continue to make sure that this shit is dominant.
Yeah, without a doubt. It's something that's going to stay in my head, is to make sure that this shit continues for generation. Something that I was taught is that we want to keep that poverty curse away from the family. So in order to do that, we have to make sure that we're steady building, steady maintaining, steady to bringing value to the situation. So we don't have to deal with that poverty curse anymore. My old man come from nothing. I was fortunate enough to have him. But he come from nothing. So I feel like to not uphold that will be not upholding his legacy. Because he made a transition for our entire family. So it's for us to continue that transition and grow.
For sure. When you look at the current Rap-A-Lot roster, who's the base of who's on the label at this point? Because when we look at YBN Namir, he's probably one of the ones that's like the biggest, doing the most over the past couple of years. I feel lucky that I like basically seen his career from day one.
Yeah. Namir, Jay, Osiris. You got a lot of guys, man. You're going to get me in trouble.
That is a rough one, yeah.
You're going to say all the right names. I'm going to get in trouble.
Right, but
we
so
got DJ XO, new artist that we're working with out of Houston. We got Young Lyric that we're working with out of Houston, too. I got a new artist coming. He about to get home. He come home on September the 13th. He go by the name of Honeycomb Brazen. He from Alabama. He about to be one of the coldest guys in the game, hands down. Watch.
I'm watching.
What should I tell you? So like, we're going to be back.
Let's do it. Yeah. No, that sounds great.
But it's a lot of artists that we're dealing with.
Definitely.
From the top to the bottom.
Do you feel like, because it seems like over the last couple of years that we've seen a whole bunch of incidents, where it's basically like this old school culture of respect that you guys kind of epitomize colliding with the modern clout chasing, AKA teenagers are just stupid as fuck, and that's always been that way. But, you know, when we see a situation like what happened with Jay and with people posting video clips and Rap-A-Lot chains getting stolen and shit like that, and having to have these whole social media campaigns to get them back, talk to me about that sort of collision of, like, the new generation and then you guys who sort of epitomize that old school culture of respect.
I mean, it's just social media. Social media has it where people can act like they're somebody that they're not. So it's a whole social media thing, and it comes with the territory. This world is about adapting and conquering. because you cannot stop transformation. Mm. It's something that transforms. It's a big social media game going on right now where people can throw a rock and hide their hand. Mm. It's just what you gonna do when it's real life. You deal what I'm saying? So that's something that I don't too much pay too much mind to because I understand what I'm going against. Mm. And that's the internet. You can't beat the internet.
Yeah, because it puts you in a weird situation where you have to take to the internet to basically say, nah, this is not how this is going to go down. But then it's almost like you're kind of stooping to their level because you have to use Instagram to get that message out when I'm sure that you would rather hop on the phone, talk to somebody, never mind link up with in person.
It's a tricky situation. It's a tricky situation. But we know how to balance the two.
And it's interesting, too, though, because it's like if you signed a rap a lot, you might have J Prince Jr. Hopping out to inform people that you're not allowed to disrespect the brand name like that. Whereas if you go sign to Atlantic Records, you know, Mike Caron ain't gonna pull up at your crib.
And it's cool. Everybody got their own values. Everybody stay in their own lane. That's why I don't get outside of mine.
Right.
Everybody got their own value. They handle their business the way they handle their business.
Yeah.
It's just disrespect is something that won't celebrate.
Right. Yeah, it's important. It feels like a lot of people who, you know, in terms of like the younger generation and stuff, who might not have been necessarily as familiar with Rap-A-Lot or you, that when this whole 6ix9ine situation went down, that this was like kind of this key moment where it was like, you know, and obviously it's just you handling business and everything, but it's also like it really was kind of a good moment to be able to show what you guys are all about on a larger scale.
I mean, it was just a moment where I had to put a kid in his place. Mm. Like, and as you see, like once I addressed the situation, I said nothing more about it because I'm not no lip boxer. Mm. I'm not gonna go on social media and go back and forth with you, none of that. I'm gonna check your temperature. And you know, respect can be shown in a bunch of different fashions. Mm. He showed me respect when he come to the World Star show. That was respect. Whether he want to say it or not, or the world want to say it or not, it was respect. He respect the power. Mm. So I seen he respected me, and I never spoke up on it again.
Right. Oh, so you felt like he did something afterwards by going to another show that sort of corrected the wrong that came about in the first place?
No, what I'm saying is after that little fly talking or whatever.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That happened, and we went out there to Austin and address the situation. I feel like it was a situation that didn't need to be addressed anymore because he showed me respect by not coming.
Right. Interesting. Yeah, because I mean, that's got to be one of the most extreme examples that we've seen in recent years of basically, you know, street dudes, quote unquote, sort of like taking in somebody who wasn't cut from the same cloth and bringing them into their web, their family, and then us all seeing the terrible repercussions that came from that.
So you got to know what you're dealing with. And you can't make somebody who you are. Mm. You got to make sure that your artists stay in their lane too, because at the end of the day, they might not be able to deal with their pressure and you ain't going to be there all the time. Mm. So you got to make sure that as an artist or as a CEO, that you make sure your people stay in their lane and play their role. Everybody can't be the quarterback. You ain't going to win the Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? Everybody got to master their positions. You got to have your blockers. You got to have your receivers. You got to have the person who can run the ball. Like, everybody master their role, stay in their lane, play their position. You can win the Super Bowl. But when you got people portraying shit that they really ain't, ain't no longevity in that because it ain't real. Mm.
Crazy. So I did want to ask you about this. As much as we've already talked about respect in this interview, you're kind of like the king of dumping water on people while they're sleeping.
Water Boys Association. Yes, sir.
And when I think about that shit, I think about like Chief Keef when he was like 18. He would always be doing it on the gram and shit. When did that become a part of your life?
Hey, we've been doing this for years. Like, yeah. But it really started out based up in the studio because we want people to be in the studio working. Mm. So the sleepers in the studio, bow, wake up. Splash this water on you. Wake up. You hit a work. You ain't hit a sleep.
I seen you hit the chef's friend with it, though. Pretty girl. I'm like, man, she got to redo her makeup and everything. Damn. I really felt bad for her.
Hey, she was a good sport. Shout out to her.
She did laugh at it a lot.
She was a good sport.
Man. I was like, man, if I did that to my girl, it would not go down so well.
You gotta, sometimes you got to pick your poison.
Yeah.
You got to pick and choose.
That's facts. Can I tell you about, and the other thing that I wanted to loop in when we were talking about people sort of disrespecting the brand name and stuff. Most recent thing that I've seen expressed by the Prince family on social media was basically this outcry against these ecstasy pills that they've been selling with Rap-A-Lot logos on. How does that make you feel?
I mean, you know, this shit troubling right there. Like, this crazy. First off, I don't know if it's the police or the streets.
Real.
Interesting.
But regardless of the situation, it's crazy for somebody to try to brand, make our name look bad and what we stand for, knowing that we don't represent that. That ain't what we a part of, never will be a part of. The brand too big. Why jeopardize a legacy behind pennies? It's pennies. And who's stupid enough to put their mark on a goddamn drug? This shit crazy. So we figuring it out, though. I don't know if it's the police or the streets, but yeah, it ain't gonna be tolerated.
Yeah, that's fucked up. Especially knowing just that fucking half the time you see a pill floating around the streets these days, it ain't what they're saying it is either.
Yeah, I don't know nothing about that.
You never, that's an interesting route that we could go down. You never been a partier? You never? I might have seen you hit the Henny a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
That's about as far as it goes?
Yeah, I mean, I smoke a little bit every now and then, but yeah, I ain't never experienced or experimented with nothing else.
Right.
Nothing in my life. I ain't never even tried it. I got addicted personality.
Right.
I know if I like something, I got the means to get it. Mm. So I don't even experiment or try new things that I feel like will be a downfall to me.
Mm. Especially being around so many rappers from a young age, too. It's like you probably seen up close and personal.
I don't get in people's business. I let them do what they do, but I'm just not going to partake in it.
Mm.
Is it?
For me, as one of the biggest Pimp C fans ever, or I'm going to say that, but obviously I can't prove that. But talk to me about seeing him as a youngin'.
And Pimp, one of the really guys I knew. And I say that because he always spoke his mind. Like, period. He didn't give a fuck who you were, where he was at, or anything like that. Pimp always spoke his mind. He always kept it real. And that's something that I will forever respect about him, because everybody can't do that.
Right.
Everybody don't do him.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, he's just like one of, when you look at rappers, it's just he probably had one of the most enigmatic, just exciting personalities. And he was so, like, I read this biography about him. It's actually incredible that I really recommend people read. But, I mean, they were really going to depth about, you know, just who he was as a person and how volatile he was and how he was so, it was like he had multiple personalities kind of all wrapped in one, and you sort of didn't know what you were going to get, but all of them came out musically.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
And you guys still have a relationship with Bun B and shit too, right?
Oh, yeah, Bun family.
Mm.
Yeah, for life. Bun family. Got a new project he's working on right now too.
And he signed to Rap-A-Lot?
Yeah.
Beautiful. That's important. Talk to me about Bushwick Bill. Rest in peace.
R.I.P. to the legend, man.
That must have been huge for you, because I mean that. But do you remember him being around quite a bit as a kid, or was that almost before your time?
Nah, I remember Bushwick since I was a youngster.
Okay.
He always been around. From a kid to an adult. Like, we were together a couple months before he passed at a concert and stuff, fucking around. Well, yeah, it's a sticky situation right there. I ain't see it coming.
Really?
We weren't in tune that he was going through what he was going through.
Mm.
So, yeah, R.I.P. to Bushwick, though.
How do you feel about that conversation that's been going around since he passed? Sort of, we seen Willie D saying he didn't go to the funeral because they didn't get along. Do you feel like that is the right way to handle it if you genuinely didn't get along with somebody during their life?
I mean, to each his own. Everybody got their own personal perspectives and reasons to why they make their decisions. So I'm not here to say whether somebody's decision was right or wrong, because I wasn't in their position.
Mm. But do you feel like he got what he deserved in his passing? Like, it's just something that happens over time where if a rapper maybe has their high point at some point in 10, 20 years ago or whatever, and then when they pass, it's almost like, damn, like, they're not always revered to the extent that a lot of us maybe feel like they should have been.
Man, I feel like his home going... Mm.
This ain't sneaky. I ain't trying to sneak you here.
I feel like he went out as a legend. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was celebrated here and he was celebrated after death. And it was a beautiful thing. Like, everybody came and supported him. The ones who didn't, they had their personal reasons or whatever, but he'll forever be a legend in our eyes.
Definitely. When did you start the Mob Ties brand name?
I mean, Mob Ties derives from Young Mafia. I started Young Mafia. We used to call it Young Mob. I started Young Mob, me and a couple of the homies. We started Young Mob probably early high school, like my 10th grade year. We started an entity where I brought all the different sides of town together and made one collective group for us to get money, do what I'm saying, and be better. And that transitioned as we got older. We not young no more.
Right.
We not stupid no more. We was young and dumb back then. That transition from Young Mob into Mob Ties. And that's the adult version to where all the homies, we getting all the homies from city to city, state to state, the strong mind of homies.
Right.
Not the stupid ones.
Mm.
Not the shooters, not the fighters. We don't need all that. We like the ones who know how to use their mind. The ones who know how to think. The ones who bring value to the table. They stiff. They stand for what they stand for. But at the same time, they understand that it's a bigger picture and that we can be better together than just as an individual. You know what I'm saying? We only could do so much on our own.
Mm.
But collectively, yeah, we can compete with the Jews.
Definitely. Nah, it's a beautiful thing. Talk to me about how you guys started your relationship with Drake, because that's one profound relationship. Apparently, you guys seem incredibly close, him and the whole family. When did that begin?
I mean, it's 10, 12, 15 years plus. Because
like, your brother like found him on MySpace, right?
Yeah, my brother found him on MySpace. He ended up bringing him to the table. Everybody sat down, had a meeting, listened to the music, and it's history from there. Tell the truth, my old man, you know, he been out the loop a little bit when it comes to this music guy. So he wasn't even just in tune to the talent that Drake had.
Right.
But my brother was. So he believed in him. And shit, the rest is history. The biggest artist in the world.
Yeah. And have you guys remained tight since then, since the early days?
Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. It's family for life. Like, family for life. Drake is a brother. A good friend, a good individual, his heart good. So he family for life. Like, can't nobody or nothing get in between that. Even when him and Meek had this situation going on, it wasn't nothing that could get in between that. You know what I'm saying? Meek my brother and Drake my brother. I had to remain neutral.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Was so, that awkward? Because so a lot of people, it's like you see the inspirational quotes on Instagram. It's like, if you're kicking it with my enemy, then you ain't my friend, that type of shit.
I mean, it just depends on where the beef derived from.
Mm.
If it was a serious situation and somebody was in the wrong, then I'd tell them, you wrong.
Mm.
But that situation wasn't no real beef, wasn't no situation where you had to choose sides because somebody really did something drastically wrong or anything like that. So I remained neutral. I really was the go-between to them. Like, when Meek wanted to send Drake a message or when Drake wanted to send Meek a message, they calling me. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, man,
So there was a lot of talking that we didn't necessarily know about from the public eye?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, a lot of shit go on behind closed doors.
Mm. I bet. Interesting. Is that weird for you when you see, like, a narrative being displayed publicly about either yourself or your family or an artist that you guys are working with and you know that that's not really how it's going, but then at the same time, it's kind of like you're making it worse almost if you jump in there and start correcting the record.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's a situation. That's a situation we all got to deal with, but it's just not entertaining bullshit.
Mm.
If you know what it is and you know what's really transpiring, you ain't got to pay attention to the rest of it because you in tune to what's really going on. So, you know, social media going to be social media. The internet going to be the internet. Like, everybody got their perspectives and their own idea of what's going on. But they're not in the loop.
Mm.
So if you're in the loop and you really know what's transpiring, you ain't got to worry about that bullshit because we know the people who matter.
Yeah, social media is like usually almost exclusively the people who don't really know anything aside from what they've seen in the news or on somebody else's Twitter or whatever.
And you just can't let that bait you in. Mm. Is it?
Has there been a reason, like, I think I mentioned this before, but is there a reason that you sort of avoided doing interviews in the past? Like, did you want to be a more secretive person or somebody who, you know, their actions spoke for them? And did you feel like doing an interview might take away from that?
I mean, yeah, and I understand, like, I understand how this internet shit go. I know when you give people the power to display you how they want to display you, they might not display you in the manner that you want to be displayed.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned that as a kid when I had my crib in Miami. I did an MTV Cribs in my crib in Miami probably like 2008, 2009 when I was young. And we had a bunch of guns and stuff in the house, but they were legal. We had our gun licenses, they were legal, but I didn't know. They were with us for like 4 days. I didn't know that they were going to try to capitalize off the bullshit rather than the real shit. And they actually made the cover on World Star and everything with me with a gun in my hand.
Wow.
Instead of capitalizing on this, why you put the house right there? That's what y'all here for. Yeah, but they made it to where they had me with a gun in my hand the whole 10 seconds out of 4 or 3 days that they was with us. They capitalized on bullshit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I just learned a lesson then and never wanted to put myself in that same position where somebody can misrepresent me or put me in a tricky situation. Because as soon as I left there, I went to New York and I caught a pistol case in New York from the hip-hop police.
For real?
Yeah, so I ain't never want nobody to tarnish my name or put me in a situation where I could be set up again.
That's crazy. Damn, yeah, and you're constantly sort of making that decision. Like, you know, when you see people decide to go do Love and Hip Hop, it's like, yeah, you might be getting a check off that. You might be getting some more notoriety, but you're putting yourself in a situation where they can and will take every little bit of your personality and shape it to fit a narrative. And who knows, maybe you get to be the good guy, but chances are that you're probably not.
And I had those offers too. They flew out to Houston. They tried to get me on Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. They tried to get me on Love and Hip Hop LA. Then, you know, they were shooting the Love and Hip Hop Houston. They flew the whole crew out to come interview everybody and things like that. But I ended up making the decision where I didn't want to do it because you never can trade respect for attention.
Mm.
I never trade my respect for attention. We good already. We got too many avenues where we can get some money. So I don't need that platform in order to be successful.
Mm.
So I would never lower my values or let anyone misrepresent what it is that my family stand for based upon trying to get some attention. Like, that don't mean nothing. The money means something.
Yeah, definitely.
And respect.
And especially just knowing that their business is basically taking your relationship and making that look all crazy.
Yeah.
That's extra messy.
Yeah, I was going to be in trouble.
It's like if you're not a cheater, you're going to probably be in that first meeting. They're going to be like, all right, so we got to find somebody for you to cheat with.
Yeah, they try to pair me up with so many different girls.
Oh, yeah, they do that for you too, huh?
Yeah, they try to pair me up with a bunch of different people. But, you know, shout out Love and Hip Hop. They successful. I love what they doing. Y'all keep getting y'all money.
That's hilarious. When'd you pick up the vape?
Yeah, I introduced the vape to Houston.
Oh, for real? What year?
That's that nigga's signature.
Fucking vape. Been, big clouds.
It's been over, man, probably down to 10 years. Like, I was smoking the vape when people ain't know what a vape was. They were walking up to me in the club like, what is that you puffing
some
on?
Some robotic, futuristic shit.
Hey, man, you got to keep best to best, man. The Bugattis.
That's a fact. So, do you feel like your brother got what he deserved out of the Drake situation? Because I know at one point there was a lawsuit, some sort of legal situation. Is that all resolved now?
Everything good. Everybody rich.
Okay. Well, we knew that.
Everybody rich. Everything good, man.
That's what's up. So when you're driving around in the car at this point in your life, what are you listening to?
What am I listening to? You know, I got artists that I'm working with, so I like to jam and critique their music so that I can make them better than what they are. So I'm listening to DJ XO. I'm listening to Jay the Great. I'm listening to Honeycomb Brazy. I'm listening to Meek. I'm listening to Drake. I'm listening to family. The guys who give me music that I feel like I could relate to. That's who I listen to.
There's a lot of exciting shit coming out of Texas right now in general, though, too. It's like kind of a renaissance out there right now.
It's working. Yeah,
we kind of got Megan leading the charge. Shout out to all the ladies out there.
Shout out Megan Thee Stallion, man. Mm-hmm. She is, to me personally, and everybody can have their own opinion, but she the coldest female in the game right now. And that's not discrediting any other artists. That's not taking away what they've accomplished. We talking about a rookie. You know what I'm saying? She a rookie. She fresh off the boat. But she the coldest female out there right now, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying?
Like, naturally, too.
And then the thing about Megan is, Megan really from the ghetto.
Really?
Like, she really from the hood. So the shit that she talking about, she really about that. I can't speak on everybody else because I don't know them like that. I don't know where they come from. I know where she come from. She really from the ghetto. She really from the projects. And she's transitioned to a star. You dig? So shout out to Megan. Shout out to 1501. Shout out to T-Fed. Shout out to Carl Crawford. Yeah, shout out to all of them, man. They straight out the hood. Carl from Fifth Ward, too. I'm from Fifth Ward. So it's a big thing. It's a big movement for us. They got the blueprint. They doing what they need to do with it.
Definitely. Yeah, and she really raps her ass off, too, which is the thing I like the most about her is it's just like, damn, like.
It's street.
She really is, my favorite girl artist in the game. And it ain't that she from Houston. It's that, she really kicking this shit.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible to be able to say that knowing that all she got out is like a little project that she probably didn't have too much time to work on shit. Yeah. Like the future for her is scary to think about what she might do.
Now the doors are open. She didn't have those doors open at first. Now she get to work with the best of the best in the music game. So it's going to take her whole talent to a whole nother level.
And put in that light.
I'm excited for her next album. Yeah. It's going to be crazy. I'm excited for her.
For sure. Last question, possibly last question. I seen you rocking out to Old Town Road on your story.
Oh no! See, there you go with the message.
What's wrong with Old Town Road? We ain't talking about no crazy shit. No, you ready though? You ready for the question? This grown and mature question.
That was before.
Here's a grown and mature question.
The door was open.
The synergy, the merge of hip hop and country. Being that you're from Texas, do you see this as something that is maybe a little bit inevitable in the sense that, you know, I'm sure you've been exposed to country at least a little bit for your whole life, hearing it out of people's trucks and shit like that. Do you think that this is the time for that merger of that? Because that's kind of like Texas is like the white side of Texas and the black side of Texas coming together in a way.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, I feel like hip hop is a big influence on everything. You got.
There was only a matter of time until they got hit by it, right?
Yeah, so it's just how big our culture is, how big the influence is, that eventually it's going to link up with everything. Eventually, it was inevitable. I seen it coming. I ain't know it was going to be like this.
Right. 19 weeks is number one, man.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing, though, and I can't even knock it. Like, I ain't got no problem with homie. Hey, man, get your money. You doing what you doing. Regardless of whatever, it's all good. Get your money.
For sure. So you going on to Atlanta after this? What keeps you on the move? Like what do you when you typically run through a city? What are you popping up to do? What's your main business?
I mean, majority of the time, me and London on the track, we're working on this compilation album, Mod Ties compilation album.
Okay.
That we both co-executive producing. So majority of the time, when I be in these cities for a couple weeks, or I'm steady on the move, it's because I'm linking up with different artists trying to put this album together.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's going to be a masterpiece. Like, it's going to be crazy. All the hottest niggas in the game on one joint venture. Kind of like Cali, but
different.
For the streets.
Yeah.
For us. Different. In my way. You know what I'm saying? Cali did a beautiful thing. And shout out to him. He's a boss. But I'm going to do it in my own way, my own manner. Monetized compilation on the way you did.
That's what's up.
Shout out London.
I'm ready for that, man.
Oh,
man. All right, guys. Well, I appreciate y'all coming through. Anything you want to advise the audience to check out? Anything in particular we need to know?
I mean, you see it. Let them know what's going on, Jay.
Shit, man. You know, Jay the Great, I'm next. You know what I'm saying? I'm next. You know, I've been cooking. I ain't really got a lot to say. You know, I take a lot of notes from this man right here. You know, so I'm I'm less on words, you know what I mean? Shout out to We Are Rich. You know, that's a whole nother movement too within itself. Kind of like Marathon, you know what I mean? Just some empowerment for everybody. Man, we just, it's time. You know what I'm saying? It's time. I'm firm on that.
This is one of the future artists coming out the city that's going to be hard in the whole game. Like, not no regional artist, but he's going to be worldwide.
Yeah.
Jay the Great. We got DJ XO.
Yeah.
Cold.
And we positive.
I don't know if you're in tune with him or not. He was supposed to be here also, but he had to. He got a listening party in Atlanta.
I seen him today. Play some show. I forget where it was that I seen him perform.
Yeah, XO Tough.
Cold. XO. We got Honeycomb Brazy. Like I said, he's going to be coming home September 13th. Yeah, it's going to be.
That's
going
to
be crazy.
It's time,
crazy,
man. It's time.
Young Lyric, the YBN crew, man. Everybody, man.
Shit crazy.
The boy. Yeah.
Shit crazy.
We didn't even we didn't shout out YBN Cordae. He just had a huge album. People are going crazy for it.
Yeah, hey, man.
Got to point that out, too.
Yeah, he talented on a whole another level, man. He going to be an artist who's successful for a long time because. Yeah, his talent is immaculate. Like, it's crazy. It's immaculate, man.
Yeah, that's that real hip hop. I appreciate you guys coming through for sure. It means a lot,
sir.
Appreciate you for having us, my brother. Hey,
my pleasure, man.
For real.
Hey, shout out. Y'all both got some clean ass nails, too. I'm trying to stop biting mine. I just noticed that. Yo, Rap A Lot, No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes. Like, comment, and subscribe. NoJumper.com if you want to support the podcast.
Yes, sir.
More time. You dig? Yes, sir.
Appreciate you, man. It was an honor.
Yeah, it was an honor being here, my brother.